Hello, my friends. Welcome to another edition of Coach's Corner. This one's going to be a little bit different than our normal episodes. This one is about becoming a better coach. This is episode number 73. Hello, everyone. I want to welcome you to this episode of Coach's Corner because it's going to be something that I've been really thinking about for a while now, and it's something that I wanted to bring to your attention as a coach. As a fellow coach, I've been coaching for, like I said, since 1995. I've been coaching for some time. I've been coaching thousands of people over the course of my career. And I wanted to bring something to your attention because the market right now is truly and honestly flooded with people who call themselves coaches, right? They're everywhere. And you might look and you might say, my gosh, there's competition everywhere. How in the world am I ever going to find enough clients to do what I do? How am I ever going to find enough clients to build a coaching practice that honestly turns into something that is valuable for you and helps a lot of people and gives you the kind of lifestyle, the kind of income that you want? And I'm going to share with you some things today that, you know, some things that I'm seeing. I'm part of a lot of the coaching groups on Facebook as well. You'll see me in there from time to time. I do read a lot of stuff. I don't necessarily post all that often. It's something I should learn to do more of, right? Be more involved, be more active in those forums. And I saw something the other day that really stuck with me. And I wanted to share it with you here today. There was a woman in there, and she asked the question. She said, I have had two conversations with two of my friends, and they suggested that I should become a coach. And her question, really what I thought her question should be, is, okay, where do I get some training? Where do I get to learn about this industry, learn about what it is to be a coach, learn some skills, learn some strategies, learn some ways to help people? She didn't ask any of that. Her question was very different. Her question was, how much should I charge for coaching? Now, I don't know about you. Maybe it's me. Maybe I'm a little different than most people. Wouldn't you want some training before you call yourself a coach? Wouldn't you want to know what you're getting into? I mean, it was just sort of interesting to me. I looked at that and I said, this is really interesting that somebody would jump ahead and say, well, I just want to be a coach. I don't want the training. The training is not for me. I don't want to invest any money. I don't want to invest in my career. I just want to start charging people for coaching because two of my friends thought I did a good job. I had a good conversation with them. And while that may be very valid, maybe she did have great conversations. I don't want to knock her for that because I don't know. Maybe she does have some innate skills that would allow her to be a coach. The real question is like if she's putting her, you know, hanging the sign outside and saying, I'm a coach, and people go to her and she's not really able to help them, it gives all of us sort of a black eye, doesn't it? So we want to sort of weed that out in our industry as much as we can. And I really want to reach out to these people and say, you know, coaching is not, you just don't put a sign out and call yourself a coach. You got to get some sort of training. In my case, I got some training from Tony Robbins. I went through UPW back in 1995, and I kind of got indoctrinated into coaching pretty quickly. 2 weeks after I went through that seminar, a friend of mine stopped by, and he was completely distraught. Never saw him like this before. And he had just walked in to his house and saw his wife in his bed with some other man. He was so broken up, so broken up. He was contemplating a murder-suicide, literally. And I had no idea what to do, but I had just done my Tony Robbins training, so I had some tools, some skills. It took me 4 hours to calm him down, but I stayed with him all night. He stayed in my apartment. I just worked with him until the wee hours of the morning because I was committed to helping him. And of course, I got him over that situation and got him going. Then I started to think about this idea of coaching, and I said, this is kind of interesting. Maybe there's a career track here. Maybe there's something that I want to do. And I started to help other friends of mine. I started to help people that were business associates of mine. I started to work with them and have conversations with them about some of the things that I learned from Tony Robbins, some of the strategies, some of the things that he was doing and that had worked so great with me. I started teaching them to these people as well. And I started to have an impact. So I said, all right, I need more of this. I went through more of the Tony Robbins training. I went to all of his programs. I even went to Trainer Academy and then became a trainer with his organization. Went back to, I've done over 15 firewalks, right, with Tony Robbins. I work with a lot of people. And in 1997, I moved to Chicago and was the head coach and coaching trainer with Tony Robbins. 2 years I spent with him in that organization. I coached over 2,000 people face-to-face. Now, you might say, that's an enormous amount of people. Yeah, it really was. It was 8 people a day, back-to-back, 1 hour, and, you know, on the hour, right all day long, and sometimes Saturday and Sunday as well. I completely burned out, But the truth of the matter is I do it again today because of the experience I gained as far as becoming a coach. Literally, I got to see it all. I got to see people in the middle of divorce. I got to see people who are cheating. I got to see people who are contemplating suicide, who are contemplating career changes, who are having self-esteem issues. I mean, you name it. Whatever the list is, I saw it all. And does that mean I helped everyone? To a point, probably. But did I solve everything? No, not necessarily. But it really gave me a lot of experience as a coach. I really can feel that, wow, you know, my skills have gotten really, really strong. In 2000, I moved here to San Diego, and I continued to coach people. And I worked with a lot of business owners because that became my passion. I said, yeah, I'm really going to work with the business owner, the entrepreneur. I really want to work with those people because they are the people who are making the biggest difference economically, right? When you look at the country, when the country goes into recession, what is the segment of the economy that always pulls it out? It's the entrepreneur, the small business owner. People like you and me, small business owner, maybe we have one employee, maybe we have five employees, maybe we're doing a couple $1 million a year, whatever. We're the pump that really brings the economy back. So I got really excited about that, and I started to work with those people. But I want to talk to you today not about my experience, because my experience is very broad, very deep, and really, really got deep into the marketing, really got deep into the business side of things, and always bringing the coaching aspect to it as well. But I want to talk to you today about becoming a better coach. And it's not necessarily just about can you sell. When I was working for Anthony Robbins and Associates in Chicago, one of the things that was on my plate that I had to do was I had to sell the people I was coaching into ongoing seminars, training, and coaching programs. If I didn't do that, there wouldn't be any money. So I developed a system where I was able to do both. I was able to do the coaching that I really wanted to do, and I was able to, at the end of that, enroll them into ongoing training, ongoing seminars, and be able to keep the conversation going. Because honestly, what are you going to do in an hour? You might have an impact on a person, but is the lasting impact, is you really solving all the issues? No, you probably need a little bit more time with them. And that was really the impetus and what really got me excited about this whole idea of coaching. So over those 2 years, I worked with 2,000 people, as I said, and I learned a lot of things. And we talk a lot about how do you become a really great coach? And one of the things that I've always taught when I was teaching the coaches in Chicago, so I was a head coach and I was a coach's trainer, what I would teach them all the time was something that is a little esoteric, but has proven to be one of the most powerful things that I could ever teach. And that is to learn to listen for the words that they are not speaking. When you have a client in front of you, whether it's over Skype, whether it's Zoom, whether it's in person, whether it's just over a telephone, although very few coaches are doing that today, most people are doing the video conferencing, you have to be able to listen with what I like to call the coach's ear. What's the coach's ear? That's a great thing, right? The coach's ear is literally being able to hear the words they're not speaking. Be able to listen between the words and not get sucked into the story, right? Everyone has their story. They're going to tell you their story. They're going to tell you this, that, and the other thing. Don't get sucked into the story. The story is only their way of presenting it. This is the situation. This is what happened. I don't really care about the story. They can tell it to me all day long. That's fine. I don't listen to it. Why am I not listening to the story? Because I don't want to get sucked into their way of thinking. I want to stay out of it emotionally. To be a good coach, I need to be a little bit detached, right? The moment you start getting attached to somebody emotionally, your ability to coach goes way down. And I got to tell you something. That's really, really true in intimate relationships. You say, why can't I coach my significant other? Because you're attached emotionally. And once you have that emotional attachment, the objectivity is gone. And when the objectivity is gone, all coaching is out the window. You need to have somebody else coach them where they're not involved in the situation emotionally. So when you're working with a client, when they start bringing you in their story and they start pulling the cord and bringing you in and bringing you in and roping you into their story, resist it. Let go of the rope. You don't have to be brought into their story. Their story is not going to help. Your story might help them feel better. And I always let them tell their story because they need to feel heard. Right? But I'm not listening to the story. I'm listening to what's really going on behind the story. What's the real issue here? What are they really struggling with? And I'll ask them questions like, where else does it show up in your life? It showed up in this one example. Where else is it showing up? Right? And you'll find that they'll say, wow, I don't really know. And then they'll start telling you more story. And then you'll find that, oh, there's the pattern. It's showing up here, here, here. It shows up in their intimate relationships. It shows up in their career. It shows up in the way they think. It shows up in the way they show up. It's there. And once you find what that common denominator is, that's when the coaching begins. Because if you correct it there, all this other stuff goes away. Now, a lot of coaches get sucked in and they'll say, well, I'm just going to listen to the story and I'm going to help you deal with this one situation. And I go, that's not really a good coach. A good coach can help you with that, can give you some advice, give you some pointers, this and that. That's great. But the problem is now they're not in that situation. If that pattern underneath is still at play, guess what happens? It shows up again. And then they go, yeah, I tried coaching. It didn't work. Why didn't it work? It didn't work because they didn't really get to the core. They didn't really get to the pattern that was causing the problem in the first place. So I like to be the coach who figures out what the underlying pattern is, and I work there. And then I have to worry about all this other stuff on top because all of it self-corrects. It goes away. So when I talk about becoming a really good coach, what I talk about is I want you to go a little bit beyond what you've normally done. I want you to take things to a higher level. I want you to really look at what you're doing and constantly be improving your skills, constantly learn how to use the coach's ear and learn to hear what they're not saying, learn to figure out what is behind their story, right? Most of coaching really is the diagnosis phase, right? It's the first phase. You want to diagnose what's going on. And diagnosis means you're not talking. You may ask a question, but you're not talking. You're listening. Listening for the story and listening for the things they're not saying, because what you're trying to uncover is what's really going on behind the scenes, right? Procrastination. People say, oh, I got procrastination. I procrastinate all the time. Right? You procrastinate all the time? No kidding. We all do. And then if you really start peeling back the layers on it, you say, well, why are they really procrastinating, right? I can get you over procrastination, but for this one time, maybe. But wouldn't it be great if I was able to solve it for you forever, where it would never be a problem again? Well, to do that, you have to understand what it is. So we go into the conversation. Okay, let's peel back the layers a little bit. Let's find out why you're procrastinating. What's really behind that? Has there ever been another time in your life where you found that you were procrastinating? Oh, yeah, I can remember, right? And they go into their stories about how many times, and then you look for the common thread. Okay, what's the common thread behind all these things? What were the issues that were causing the procrastination? What's the procrastination really all about? 9 times out of 10, you're going to find that it is fear of some sort, and then you work at that level with them and help them clear that up, and all of a sudden the procrastination isn't there, doesn't come back. So I like to talk to coaches about becoming a really good coach and a really strong coach, and not just being in the selling mode. So the sales part becomes super easy, if you do this one thing. You have a way or many ways to show people what you can do as a coach, right? I call this auditioning, right? If you can audition your skill set, boy, you're going to do really well. One way to do that, I'm doing it right here. This is a podcast, right? This podcast is going to go out to a lot of coaches. A lot of coaches are going to see it. Some coaches are going to go, wow, this Rob guy really knows something about coaching. He really knows something that maybe I need to know. They may call me and they may hire me to coach them one-on-one. They may be part of my coaching groups. They may decide to come to some of my events. They may want more of my videos, more of my training, right? But I'm able to audition my coaching skills in this format. This format's not for everybody, so don't make me make you believe that you could just, you know, set up a studio and go ahead and start auditioning your skills. It's not for everybody. But there are other ways that you can audition your skills. You can literally be interviewed on podcasts if you like that. I like that. I like to be interviewed on podcasts. So I'll go out and I'll find people who have podcasts, who have large followings, and I'll get interviewed there, and people interview me. And I really start auditioning my skills. Sometimes, believe it or not, I'll actually coach the person interviewing me live, right? They go, well, how do you deal with this? And it's like, what I know they're asking is, how do I deal with this? Because they wouldn't ask the question if it wasn't about them. So I start coaching them. I may coach them like sort of in a third person, not directly, but they walk off that interview and they go, wow, you really helped me. Now, I've just auditioned my skills, not only for the person interviewing me, but for those who are listening as well. So what do you think happens after those interviews start going out? The phone starts to ring. People are asking to hire me, right? So you want to make more money as a coach? You want to find more clients? Stop being a secret. Get out there. Share with people what you can do. Do the things you know how to do. Go out there and coach. Find people you can coach. Find things you can do that will demonstrate that you actually have the skill set that you're trying to sell people on. Mistake a lot of practitioners make, and I go back because I work with a lot of chiropractors as well and natural health professionals. And I got to tell you, the mistake they all make is they hide behind their pricing. Now, what I mean by that is that they have their price list, and if you want to work with a chiropractor, it's $250 for that first visit. Before you even meet them, you have to pay that money. That's a risk, right? If they want to work with you as a coach, maybe it's $5,000 before they can find out if you're any good. That's a risk. It's a very high bar. So you've got to be able to lower that bar. So what I encourage my chiropractors to do is exactly what I'm encouraging you to do, is go out there and audition your skills. So I get them in front of an audience. Maybe it's a virtual audience. Maybe it's an actual real audience locally, because they do a lot of business locally. And I say, I want you to talk about the things that you do. I want to talk about a subject, a topic that you're really an expert in. I want you to wow these people who are in front of you. And when they do that, they find that people will stand up and say, okay, I'm ready. And they'll sign up. Because now there's no barrier. Maybe the seminar was $19. Maybe it was $29. Maybe it was free. Maybe online you just do, you know, like I said, a podcast episode. You get interviewed on a podcast where there's no barrier to entry. Anyone wants to listen to the podcast, they come in, they listen to it, they get an exposure to you, and they can see, wow, this person really, really knows their stuff. Cool, right? Really cool. So if that's the case, if you can do that more and more, you don't have to worry about selling your way to a full coaching practice. People will knock on your door. Why? I gave a great example this week. I was speaking to a coaching friend of mine, and he was thinking about, you know, I want to get back into the game. I'm ready to get, he's got all the training in the world, and he wants to get back in the game and start coaching more people. And I said, there was an interesting statistic that I heard on the news the other day. We are, as a society, listen to this. This is really important for you. More depressed now than at any time in history. More depressed now than at any time during history. I said, the numbers are just like crazy. It's like way over 50%. It's like 60, 65% of people who actually say they are depressed. So I asked the question, I say, why would that be? Why would more people now be saying that they're depressed than at any other time in history? Well, number one, social media, right? Social media does what to you? You're scrolling your timeline in any of the social media, it'll be in Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and all you're seeing in there are highlights. Highlights of people's best moments. You're not seeing, couldn't get to sleep last night, I woke up and I was groggy, I'm having a rough day, I feel stressed about money. You're not seeing that stuff. For the most part, you're not seeing that. Occasionally somebody's gonna post that. For the most part, you're not seeing that. What you're seeing as you're going down the timeline is you're seeing a lot of people who are doing things, enjoying life. But what you're really, if you look at it, if you look at how many times they post that, they may post one of those things a week. So you're getting one little snapshot of a whole week of their life. And you're making the assumption that everything in their life is perfect. It's a wrong assumption. So what it's causing us as a society to feel, we're feeling a little bit depressed. We're feeling like, wow, my life isn't anything like any of my friends. Look at all my friends doing all this stuff. When all you're getting is the highlights of all your friends and they're stacked up one after another, how else are you going to feel, right? How else are you going to feel? So when you look at people and you say, well, you know, they are feeling more and more depressed, guess what? Those are customers for us as coaches. Those are the people that we want to reach out to and we want to coach, because those people who are feeling the depression right now, it's real for them, right? It's not manufactured, it's real. Now, where else is it coming from? Look at our media, right? If we look at the media, here's a big topic for you. If we look at the media, how much of the media is positive? Is it more negative now than it's ever been? It's divisive, it's angry, it's, you know, the whole world is coming to an end, and this one's a criminal, and that one's a criminal, and these guys did this, and these guys did that. It's a little bit like looking at kindergarten kids, right? Sometimes it's just like, what is going on here? So you can't look at that and feel positive. You can't look at that and feel excited. And what I tell my clients who are, you know, affected by this, and there are some that are truly affected. I was at lunch the other day, and we were sitting at one of these like community tables, and there were a lot of different people at that table. And there was two ladies sitting next to us, and they were just one chair over, so I could hear their conversation. It wasn't like I was eavesdropping. And they were talking about how they want to leave California. And as the conversation went on, it became apparent that the reason that they wanted to leave California is because of all the talk of global warming, that they think California is going to be underwater before long. And I thought, that's interesting. They're really being affected and impacted at a very deep level to the point of, I'm selling my house, I'm leaving, because I really believe what I'm seeing in the media. Now, I don't know, global warming, is it real, is it not? Hard to look at the media and believe anything, right? Because to me, when you put media in the column, right, in your life, and you say media is important, valuable, truthful, honest, you're making a huge mistake. In the 60s, that was probably more true, because media, news, was not a money-making proposition. It was a public service that television stations and radio stations did. They didn't make money on it. They literally did it. They had a news crew, and they would take the money from the ads that they were running during the regular programming, and they would pay to have news because it was a public service that they were doing. All of a sudden, we have 24-hour news stations, which then became businesses, and now it's more of a business than ever was before. So go to any of these websites, any of these news websites, and I encourage you to do this. Look for the word shocking. Look how many times it's used. Look for the word alert, breaking news. Look at all this stuff, right? Why is that? You're breaking news. Oh, I've got to go. And you go there, and it's like, there's nothing. It's shocking. It's not shocking. So what's happening to us as a society? Are we being impacted by this? You bet we are. Best thing we can do, tune it out, or better, if you need to look at it, because it's hard to tune it out, you kind of want to know what's going on. I want you to understand that it doesn't fall into the category of important, it falls into the category of entertainment. Now, interesting, right? It is completely set up as entertainment because all the ads that are being run, it's a business. They entertain you with the news to keep you enrolled, engaged in their broadcasts, either online or television, radio. They entertain you so that you stay engaged. And the more that you're engaged and the more people that are engaged, the more money they make because they're selling advertising. Makes sense, right? So if you look at it for what it is, if you look at it and say, this stuff is really entertainment. And if you put it in that category of entertainment, you're not allowing it to affect you. Honestly, very little of what happens up there in Washington really impacts you on a day-to-day basis, right? So tune it out. And teach your customers, teach your clients to do the same thing. Remember, a good coach is going to help them, help your clients, you know, put that bubble of protection around them and be able to get the most and most richness and most joy out of their own lives. And you can do that, they're going to love you forever. Right? And you got to be able to talk about this stuff. You got to be able to stand up and talk about it. Stand up and deliver. Audition your skills. Let people know what you've got. Let people know what you're capable of. And then I got to tell you something. They will come to you. They will be asking for your help. They'll be asking you to help them. And to do that, you've got to become that. So for you, tune out the media. For you, stop looking at social media and devaluing who you are. You're great. You're wonderful. You've got a lot of good things happening. We all have good days. We all have bad days. It's just the way it is, right? I have a good day. I have a bad day. Actually, I got to tell you something. An hour before doing this video, I was setting everything up in here, and I was having a problem with one of the cameras, right? The video was a little bit stuttery. It wasn't what I needed it to be. And I started to get hungry, but I didn't notice I was getting hungry, and my energy just went right down. And I said, oh my gosh, I'm not going to be able to do this today. And I said, no, that would be wrong, because I know that by doing this video, I'm going to be helping people. So I got myself back up. I ate a little bit, didn't eat a lot because I still want the energy. And, you know, my energy came back up and I'm okay. And I got the camera issue resolved and everything's working the way it should right now. You got to keep going, right? And you've got to be the shining example for the people that you're helping. You can't say, listen, I'm going to help you be happy, but I've been depressed all week, right? No. You've got to make sure that you're in that right space. I'll give you a little story that might help you understand this. This is sort of important, and it was a big deal for me. When I wrote my book, Motivational Marketing, I remember signing the contract with Wiley, and I remember they gave me a huge advance to write that book, and I was really excited about writing it. And one of the very first things that I said, I actually told them this. I said, I am not going to write this book unless my energy is high. Because I know that if my energy is low and I'm writing this book, it's going to transfer to the reader. So the reader is going to feel I'm just not there with them. I'm just not there at that energy. And people who read the book love it. And they say, man, I got so much out of this book. It felt like you were right there. You were having a conversation with me. It was one-on-one. It was great energy because it was designed that way. So the same with you when it comes time to coaching. You've got to make sure that your energy is up. You know, you can't get on a coaching call, hi, how you doing? Yeah, it's Rob. Okay, what's going on today? How are we going to help you? I'm not going to help them. right? You've got to do the things you got to do to get your energy up and get yourself in that space where you are at your best because your customer is waiting for you, right? You do that, you'll transfer the energy, and it really doesn't matter what the words are. You get that transference of energy. They're around somebody who's positive, somebody who's one step above them energetically and can rise, get them to come up to the next level. They'll get off that call and they'll feel, man, I feel so much better. Just talking to Rob makes me feel better, right? And what do you think is going to happen? That's going to echo out because we just don't help the people that we are paying us. We help the people that those people interact with as well. Sort of ripple effect. So we help that one person has a better day, they're kinder, they're more polite, they're more loving, they're more caring, they're more open emotionally, they're a little bit calmer. All of a sudden, all those people around them respond differently. They feel better about being around. You get the idea? So coaching, to me, I got to tell you, this is an honest belief of mine. For a very long time, coaching is the most important of all the careers you could choose. Now, you don't take this lightly. It's the most important career you could choose. Because coaches are critically important, more so now in our society than at any time in history. Why? More people now are depressed than ever before, and they need a way out. And how are they going to find it? Bottle? Are they going to find it drugs? Yeah, some are going to find it. We don't want that, though. We want to help them. We want to help them understand that it's just theater out there and that you have the power within you to create that happiness, to create that joy, to change your life in a heartbeat, literally. And that's our job. So that's, to me, why coaching is such an important career. If you've made that choice, congratulations. If you're looking for more people to coach, it's full. The world is full of people who need to be coached. When I first started with Tony Robbins, I'll tell you a quick story. I know I'm getting into my stories here and I can go on forever. But we were in a bar one night with a bunch of my coaching friends, all the Tony Robbins people were out in a bar. We weren't drinking, we're having iced teas and stuff, you know, like we're not into the alcohol or anything. And we're sitting there, we're going, man, look at all these people in here. And you see this one's sad and that one's like leaning over their drink like this. And it said, there's a customer, there's a customer, there's a customer. Literally, they were everywhere. It was just like, there are people everywhere who need our help. So if you're a coach and you're looking for, well, where do I go to find people to coach? They're everywhere. Now, you can do a 15-minute coaching session with somebody. You can do a 30-minute or an hour-long coaching session with somebody and not get paid for it, and I'm not going to criticize you because I've done them, many of them, thousands of them, in fact. They want more, and they need to pay. But it's okay because it helps you with your skill set. Helps you be a stronger coach. And you might help that person, you know, be a better person. You might help them get over the little lump that they're in, and they're going to come back to you. I got news for you. I got people that I've coached 10, 15 years ago. Worked with them once, helped them out, and all of a sudden, you know, 10, 15 years later, the phone rings, they send an email. Hey, are you still doing coaching? You helped me so much back then. I want to work with you again. Happens, right? So I encourage you to just be who you are with the coaching. Be really strong about it. Continually seek to improve your skill sets because you're never going to be there. There is no there. There's always new stuff being discovered, new ways, new strategies, new things you can integrate. And no two coaches are alike. I got to tell you something. It's just like my chiropractic customers. No two are alike. Nobody practices the chiropractic they were taught in school. They always add their special ingredients to it, and they've got their own little mix. Coaches are the same way. I don't care what you bring to the coaching, just bring it in. If it works for you, that's great. I bring a lot of law of attraction in. I bring a lot of marketing experience in. I bring a lot of negotiating skills in. I bring even some traditional therapy in to my coaching, and I've got a really large toolbox that I work from. You're going to have that as well. Your toolbox is not going to look like mine. I don't encourage you to be exactly like me because that's not what you want to be. You want to be exactly like you. And that becomes your special gift. So I want to leave you with that today. I want to say thank you for joining me for this little diatribe. It went a little bit longer than I expected it would. But hey, that's okay. We're coaches. We have a lot to share, right? And I look forward to having you join me again for Coach's Corner. And if you're not part of the podcast, do subscribe. We're everywhere. In iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, you name it, we're everywhere. Both an audio version and a video version. And I encourage you to subscribe and be part of the conversation. And contact me. If you have questions, reach out. I'm easy to reach, I'm easy to talk to, and I'd love to help you if that's going to help you become a better coach. Thanks so much for watching.